Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 50. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At the head of the chapter, it says, Israel's sin and the servant's obedience. I noticed that in my English Standard Version, at least, maybe in the NIV as well. Israel's sin and the servant's obedience. That's the servant of the Lord, the Messiah. He is spoken of in this section of the book of Isaiah repeatedly. This prophecy, it's really the gospel according to Isaiah, this section of the book, the good news of Christ's salvation. And in this section of the book of Isaiah, there are four songs. You know some of the songs in Isaiah. They're a real blessing to us. Isaiah 5, the song of the vineyard. Isaiah 12, in that day shalt thou say, O Lord, I will praise thee. You know that. I'm sure you're very familiar with that. Some of you have memorized that. You were angry with me, but your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. O Lord, you're my strength and my song. You're my salvation. I'm going to trust in you. I won't be afraid. I'll draw from the wells of salvation with joy. Isaiah 12. But in this section, there are four special songs, and they're called servant songs. Songs of the servant of Jehovah. And they are specifically about the Messiah, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that. We didn't just interpret it for ourselves, but the Holy Spirit makes us to know it. For instance, what I mean by that is Isaiah 42. I spoke about that at the beginning of the season. That's the first one. Behold my servant, my chosen one. I delight in him. I have put my spirit upon him. And it speaks about his ministry. But in the book of Matthew, it says, Jesus went about ministering in this way, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, behold my servant. My servant, whom I love and whom is my delight, I have chosen him and put my spirit upon him. And he is going to minister in this way, in a strong way, in a persevering way, in a tender way, in a modest way. Remember, he won't break the bruised reed. He won't quench the smoking flax. And he will not fail and he will not be discouraged. That's all about Jesus. Such a beautiful, glorious picture of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit makes us to know that that song in the prophet Isaiah, many, many years, centuries before he ever ministered here on earth, that song is about him. It's a prophecy that gives us a beautiful picture of him that enhances our understanding that makes him more real and precious to us. Isaiah 42, the beginning of the chapter. Then Isaiah 49. We know also that that's about Jesus. There's the second servant song. And there the Apostle Paul quotes it, and about his gospel ministry. And he says, the Lord says in Isaiah 40, he doesn't say Isaiah 49, but he quotes from the song in Isaiah 49, and it's about the salvation of Jehovah going to the ends of the earth. He uses it in connection with his turning to the Gentiles. When the Jewish gathering there in Antioch, first missionary journey, Acts 13, rejected the message by and large, and he turned to the Gentiles, he said, and he saw that he had a part in it too. He said, so has the Lord commanded us. I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, my salvation to the ends of the earth, the servant of Jehovah. There's such a hopeful word for all of us. We're not Jews, but we're Gentiles, and we are spiritual Jews, children of Abraham, because we believed in Christ. Some of you know Sister Vita. I like one of her songs, kind of, and she sings to us, Father Abraham had many sons, many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. I am one of them, and so are you, because we believed in Jesus. And that's what Isaiah 49 is about, the song of the servant, the spread of the gospel, this gospel light shining into places that were hopeless, where there was gross darkness that covered the place and covered the earth. The Lord shall arise. The Lord shall arise. His glory shall be seen. His salvation. Two more. There are four servant songs. The next one is Isaiah 50. And then Isaiah 53, the one that we know the best. Starting at the end of the 52nd chapter. I'd just like to take a look today at the third servant song. I spoke about 49 also during the second period, I guess it was. Here's 50, all right? And I know that this is about the Lord Jesus, and it's so clear, so will you. The Lord God, it starts with the fourth verse. Here it speaks about Israel's sin at the very beginning of the chapter and about the power of God. And then the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, an instructed tongue. In the ESV it says, of one who is taught. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? They all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. This is a song, the song of the servant. In this particular case, the words are in his mouth. That's the person that's being spoken in, if we can put it that way. He is speaking in the first person. And then there's a challenge for us, his appeal. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Chapter 50, just 11 verses, and we start with the fourth verse. And I see four sections, how he was instructed. He was a disciple. He has disciples, but he also placed himself in dependence upon his Father. He was a man, very man, we say, and very God. We're treading on holy ground when we try to enter into these mysteries. But he combines in himself the form of a servant and equality with Jehovah. That's our Jesus. He's, of course, unique. Son of God and Son of Man, and we worship and adore him. And we bow before these mysteries. And yet we see that in his earthly ministry, he was instructed. He was taught. Well, the four sections, that first one, and then you see his resolution to go all the way through, bringing salvation. Then you see his vindication on the next little section and his appeal. So I was looking at the clock, and I thought, if I spend 8 minutes on each of those four, that's already 32 minutes. I don't think I can make it, and I don't think I can just spend 8 minutes either. They're just too great, too wonderful, So we'll just get as far as we can for now, okay? And let's start with the fact that Jesus, our Savior, came way down. He humbled himself. And he was found in fashion as a man, we read in Philippians 2. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. The servant of Jehovah is our emphasis here in Isaiah. But he also served people. He served people, even those who spurned him and rejected him. He loved them. He had compassion on the multitudes. He cared about those who were burdened and oppressed and brokenhearted and weary. And it says here, the Lord God has given me the tongue. He had words of life. He had words of life to speak. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, an instructed tongue. How is that? He wakens me morning by morning. This divine servant was, shall we say, educated? Can it be he had something to learn? In the book of Hebrews, we read that he learned to be the perfect Savior. He's perfect, entirely perfect in himself. That's why I said we come into and tread on holy ground when we think of these mysteries. But I suppose a good way to think about it is Jesus is the perfect Savior for a sinner like me. He had to learn. He had never come into the school till he came down to become one of us. He was never in the school of human suffering. I'm sure he knew all about it. But now he was going to experience it. And as he experienced that, everything that you or I could experience in this life, all the joys and the hardships, he became one of us. He took part in flesh and blood. First of all, of course, the main reason for that was so that he could give his life. He could die. So he came down to become one of us so that he could die for us on the cross of Calvary and bring us life eternal. But to become the perfect Savior, to become the high priest who was touched in a very real way with the feelings of our infirmities, Jesus came and he placed himself in this position. God Most High became one of us. And there were limitations there, human limitations. And he also placed himself in utter dependence and perfect obedience to the purpose of his Father, his will, and his day-by-day walk to, there was a will in connection with that. It wasn't just the eternal purpose to work salvation on the cross of Calvary, but there was a will for his daily life, what his daily ministry, what God wanted him to say, what God his Father wanted him to do. And that's spoken about here. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. There's an example of that, just very briefly, in Mark 1. I spoke about it somewhere recently. If it was here, some of you that stay here from period to period, please forgive me, but I think it was at home. There's an example of that in the first chapter of Mark. Jesus had a meeting that was a glorious meeting. It was such a wonderful meeting. They brought people from everywhere to the doorstep of the house in Capernaum. And everybody you knew that was sick, you'd want to bring him because you knew he would be healed. That Jesus was healing people right and left, casting out the evil spirits. People were oppressed by the powers of evil and possessed by demons. And Jesus set them free. And Jesus healed all their sick. And he taught and he preached and he as he loved to do, he helped people. He ministered to their need, and it was a wonderful meeting. I can imagine it went late as people brought their acquaintances that were sick and that were in need, and Jesus healed them all. All different kinds of diseases he healed. And what joy there must have been in Capernaum that evening in that meeting. And they looked for him the next morning. What would you do if you had a meeting like that? I guess you could sleep in. You'd probably be a little tired after that, and you'd sleep in and then think, okay, tomorrow night we'll do it again. We'll have a great time. You know, there'll be a bigger crowd than we had before because the fame will spread, you know. And they looked for Jesus the next morning, real early. It was a great while before day that he got up. Like, I guess the cooks do that here, but a great while before day. And he was alone. He was communing with his Father. And he was getting his instructions for the day. He was. He tells us in the Gospel of John that he didn't do a thing without his Father's commandment. He didn't speak a word without it coming from above. He says, it's all by the Father's commandment. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. So what he tells me to say, I say. What he gives me to do, I do. That's my meat and drink, to do the will of him that sent me. He did that for us, to be our example, that we might learn how to walk in dependence upon him, to walk in the Spirit, to follow his guidance, to love him so, to listen for his voice, to see his face, to enter into his will for us. Jesus was found then by his disciples, and they said, everybody's looking for you. He was out there somewhere communing with the Father early, early in the morning. Well, maybe they didn't even miss him for a while, but then, till everybody's looking for you, let's go back. They want you. And Jesus said, no, that's not the plan for today. We're to go on and teach somewhere else in this city and that. That's why I'm here. That's why I came forth. And he knew already what was to be. He had heard from his Father. And so he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, teaching and preaching. And God was with him. And God had anointed him and given him that ear to hear and that tongue to speak words in season. I know how God has instructed me. He's made me a disciple, taken me under his discipline in this sense, and he's teaching me day by day how to speak a word in season to him that is weary, wakening me morning by morning, wakening my ear to hear as the learned, as one being taught. How wonderful that is. Jesus knows what to say and how to say it and when to say it. Well, maybe I'm only going to get to the first one. But the other day, I was speaking on this passage a few weeks ago. I've been going through Isaiah at home on Sunday mornings. And I think it was the following week, before I went into the 51st chapter, I did a little recap of the 50th, and just real briefly. And that afternoon, we had a visitor in the Sunday school session, and he spoke to the adult classes. His name was Brother Luton. He's a missionary from South Africa. And he spoke to our combined classes, and he gave an example that touched me very deeply. I hope I can relay it briefly to you. The Lord knows how, he knows when, he knows what to say. Here was an older man now, looking back on his life, and so meekly and tenderly speaking to us It was really very, very precious to me. He's always been a blessing to me. But he spoke about when he was 17 years old. Something happened in his life that seemed like it was disastrous. It was this, that his parents received a call from God to go to the mission field. And he said, maybe for younger children that's okay, but when you're 17 years old, he felt as though his world had just come to an end. His life was ending. To go over to Africa with his parents, who were just starting out as missionaries, was something that he just could not accept. It was too much of a change. You know, here he was just finishing high school, and he had all his friends and all his plans, you know. And now for his parents to just take the whole family, have them uprooted and transfer to South Africa, leave it all. So he was so against it. And it was so difficult for him that plans were being made for him to stay behind with some relatives and, you know, just have his life here in America. He said that one Sunday afternoon, he was home alone, and of course the struggle was raging. It was, you know, inside it was seething. It was very, very tough for him at 17 years old. Think of it. Maybe you're about that age, some of you. Is anybody here about 17? Maybe. Ooh, a few of you. Okay. Think of it, to have a whole new beginning to your life. Leave everything that you knew and leave it behind. It was very difficult for him. He was up in his room, and suddenly a song came to mind. And it was the song, Speak, My Lord, something that was very familiar to him. And the verse came to his heart. He said he didn't even know at that time that that was a missionary song. It just was a song he had heard and started singing. You've had that experience, just singing in your mind, you know. And it was when the coal of fire touched the prophet, making him as pure could be. Then the voice of God said, who will go for us? And I answered, here am I, send me. And then he took his Bible. He knew somehow his Bible well enough to know the chapter that came from, Isaiah 6. And he read that story too. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filling the temple. And I heard that thrice holy of the cherubim. The temple shook with the glory of God, the brightness of his holiness. And I saw my undone condition. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And I saw that I was an unclean man, a man of unclean lips, dwelling among a people of unclean lips. And I said, oh God, he saw his need, and the Lord cleansed his lips. And then the call came. He said he read that passage. He didn't even know that that was a missionary story. Missionaries use that all the time. You ever hear a missionary talk? He often uses that text. And who will go for us? Send me. After he was cleansed, there it was. Who will go? Who will go for us? Here I am, Lord, send me. And he read that. He read that. And God spoke to his heart. And God changed his whole outlook. In the short span of a couple hours in an afternoon when he was all alone, at the age of 17, no one directed him to that song except the Holy Spirit, or to that chapter except the Holy Spirit. And as he was telling us this story, he went on with other things, but one of the things that he said is, all my life, with all the things I've been through, the setbacks, the trials, the joys. I have never, even for a split second, he said, some of you were there and heard him say that, for a split second, I have never wanted to be anything but a missionary. He said that after that Sunday afternoon, he couldn't wait to go to Africa. It was too long to wait, the weeks or months that in preparation, you know. And all the way along, the trip to Europe on the boat, and then the trip down to Cape Town, and then the trip inland, all the way along was like such an adventure to him. He loved it. And he loved the people. From the moment that he met them, he loved the people that his parents were called to minister to all his life. And the thing that touched me, as you can see, very deeply, it's because I love Brother Ed Lutton very much. He's been a great blessing in my life. But the thing that touched me was I thought of this passage. Jesus knows how to speak. Jesus knows what to say. Jesus knows when to speak a word in season to him that is weary, to the one that's struggling in some kind of distress or difficulty. He knows just how to comfort. He knows just how to strengthen. He knows just how to heal. He knows just how to raise up. He's able, and that's because he's taught. He hears. We have a song also by Havergal, "Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone, and that I may, Lord, be able to comfort those who are sad and lone. And Lord, teach me that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart." Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Jesus speaks. He listens. He learns. He speaks. He knows how. He knows how to speak a word. It's just what is needed. It's not just Brother Lutton. I would think that if I were to ask, I won't ask anybody to raise their hand, I would think there would be many people in this meeting this morning who would say, Jesus has spoken to me like that. He's touched me through a song. He's gripped my heart through his word. He's spoken to me, and he knew just when and how he can get behind those obstacles that I erect. He can get behind those closed doors where no one else can go, into my mind, into my heart. I've experienced that. Maybe a time of great need or suffering or sorrow. I'm happy to see my brother Franz here. I'm sure that he would be one who would raise his hand. And he lost his dear wife, Margaret, not too long ago. I'm sure that he would say that the Lord spoke comfort to Margaret again and again through those years of suffering and sickness, and spoke to you and to your children. Jesus knows. He speaks. Our God is a speaking God, and he loves us. And I see I only got to the first one. Jesus is taught and instructed. He learns. He listens and he learns and he loves and he gives and he ministers. So I love this part of the picture. Picture of Jesus in this song of the servant. I'm convinced that what God's people need, what I need, what you need, is to have a clearer understanding, a better sight of the Lord Jesus. So we have his word. And here's just the first part of the picture. Maybe we can pick up with it this evening a little bit. But Jesus is faithful, and he shows us, oh, how important for us to listen, and to listen attentively, and to learn, and then to love, and to do his will, and to speak his word as he gives it to us. Jesus is a wonderful Savior, a wonderful servant, a glorious example, a beautiful example for all of us to follow. May we be his faithful disciples.